Why don't you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. What are we talking about? Somebody say, in him. Say it one more time. In Christ. That is a big deal. That is a big deal. When you get into teachings like this, you find out that there are a lot of religious teachings and traditional teachings that are so far off. But thank God that we can be in Christ. And I want, by the time this series is over, or this season, I don't like series, I like seasons of the Holy Spirit. That's a little bit better. But as long as God's going to be talking to our hearts about this, I want you to engraft this in your spirit, and it will change some things in your life. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself. Wow. That's good, isn't it? The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive and give a son. Bring forth a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel. And that name Emmanuel means God with us. I'm talking about God really being with us and not just in our little history books. Is God with you because somebody else told you about God? Is God with you because you got a picture on the wall? Is God with you because you can turn on the TV and hear somebody talking about him? How do you know that God is with you? There are evidences to God being with an individual. There are a lot of people, they don't believe God is with them. If they believed God was with them at all times, they wouldn't do half the things they did. Now, if Jesus was with you, would you live half the way that we live sometime? God with us. I tell you, with God is with you, you'd really watch your step. Obviously, we don't have a true revelation of God being with us. And when most people think God, when most people, how they interpret God being with them, it's off. I tell you what, 3 weeks ago, I knew that I had some type of revelation of God being with us. But I tell you what, since this series or since this season's come about, I'm getting a deeper revelation of truly what it means to have God with you. There should be a whole lot more. There's a whole lot of people that are just quote-unquote Christian. But a true Christian is anointed with the Spirit of God. That means that God is with them. And God is not mute. God is not deaf. God is living. God is active. God is a person. He is not an introvert either. God is with you. I mean, I got some friends that, you know what, you can tell when they're with me. I mean, you ever rode with somebody and never said anything in the car? No. There are some personalities that when they're with you, you know that they're there. Well, it's the same way with God. You can tell when God is with you. Stop lying about it. You can tell when God is in on something, when God isn't in on something. When God is in on something, he will manifest himself. Don't be afraid to say manifestation. Amen. This is what we're about to see in this last age, in this last hour, God to show up. Amen. Manifestation. John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Not everybody can bear truth in the last day. Not everybody likes to hear about the Holy Ghost. Not everybody likes to hear the fact that you've got to be baptized in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Not just any way won't do. We're hearing a bunch of stuff. One of my friends, I heard him on TV say, it doesn't matter whether you're baptized in the Holy Ghost or not. Oh, yes, it does. If Jesus was baptized in the Spirit, if he came up and he was filled with the Spirit of God, every believer needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is getting to the day and this is getting to the hour. People say, well, you can make it just any kind of way. You just go to church. We're going to see some things in this last day. You're going to need the Holy Ghost to keep you stable and to keep you sane. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Let me tell you what. You can't hear true teaching. You can't hear a true word when you're in the world, period. Because it's going to wreck your world. Amen. You can't receive it because it'll mess your stuff up. If you're playing games and doing all this other stuff, you come into the house of God, you hear this teaching, it'll turn your world upside down. Amen. So those that are in the world can't receive the word. You can let them take the time to decide which realm they want to live in. We are not giving worldly assistance. I don't have the manual for anybody to live in the world. Serious. I can't help you with that stuff, but I can help you when you decide to come out of the world and come into the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost will help you with that. Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But thank God you can tell when somebody comes out of the world. They're ready to receive the word. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Go on to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of what? Matthew chapter 1. That which is conceived of her is of what? Circle that. If it started in the Holy Ghost, it's going to finish in the Holy Ghost. Period. Some people want to have just the revelation of Jesus without the Holy Ghost, but that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is all about the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. They're one. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which also being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord told him to do. And Jesus was born. Now let's go on. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have life eternal. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, but and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall what? Live forever. That's good, isn't it? And that live forever, it means he can have eternal life. That word eternal life is a little bit deeper than just means you just live on and live on forever, even though you do get to live on forever. But there are some lives that are not, there are some lives I wouldn't want to live on forever. I mean, you can be in hell living on forever, but that's not a life you want to live on forever with. Dracula lives on forever. I mean, and sometimes you meet those vampires, and those vampires are saying, please help me out. No, I'm talking about in the movies. Had one call me this morning. No. But they live on forever. Live on forever. But this life that he's saying they shall live, it's a supernatural life. It's a quality life. It's an eternal life. And that word eternal life means abundant life. That man will have this abundant quality life when he goes on, that will go on forever. And that, everybody look at the word. Do you see the word dwelleth? Where is it at? In verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. And that's what we're talking about in this season. That word dwell means they abide in Christ. They continue in Christ. They endure the full weight of the will of God. To dwell in Christ means you endure the full weight and the full measure of the will of God in every season. That's what you mean when you say, are you dwelling in Christ? We said that Jesus is living, and you're going to find that out. He will manifest himself, and he will speak to you in different seasons. You'll have impressions on your heart that you have to dwell in. And to dwell in, that means you endure those impressions by fulfilling the assignment of God. We always say, could you stand to be blessed? Many people want to find blessings, but those that are in Christ are blessed. Those that are in Christ are blessed. Didn't say those that said the sinner's prayer. Those that are in Christ. There's a big difference between saying a sinner's prayer and just saying a little prayer every once, than being in the Spirit of God. You can be in the Spirit, you can be out of the Spirit, but you must remain in Christ. You've got to keep yourself saturated in the Spirit of God. And if you stay in Christ, you'll remain blessed because there is an anointing. We laid the foundation that the anointing of God is the will of God, correct? There's a word for the season. There's something that God's trying to do in your life right now. There's some things that God is trying to breed in you. God's trying to work in you. God's trying to manifest in you. There's some urgings, and there's some, like, there are groanings I can't satisfy. Well, that is the will of God. That is the Spirit of God, and that is the power of God. That is Christ, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. And you got to learn that you have the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside of you, and that God is moving you at times. And when you become obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and you start to live out that life, you start to live out those godly desires, that is living out the will of God. And when you're living out the will of God, or living in the will of God, you are in Christ. John chapter 6, verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" You know, there are different times, there are different things that the Spirit of God does that appear to us to be hard. I mean, you get to the point to where God's always drawing lines. You know, you start out and it's real easy. You know, he just might want you to lay down one thing, and it gets deeper and it gets deeper, and he starts saying things. Some of you had things that said that just seems really difficult. The call on your life is just really difficult. I don't know if I can give that up. I don't know if I can live that. Well, it's the same thing that Jesus was saying. These are people that were his disciples that he had taught and walked with, and all of a sudden he taught something. All of a sudden a word came up that they couldn't deal with. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Anybody ever been offended at the will of God? You know, one series you like. When they're talking prosperity, you love that one. We can endure that. Hallelujah. I'm going to ride this one out to the end. But when they start talking about self-sacrifice, I'm going to skip this one. You know he didn't have to go there. And they were offended, and they were offended at it. "And what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man," and he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Notice that we said in the beginning when we read this, that which was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Many people want to separate the Spirit of God from Jesus. You cannot have Jesus Christ without having the Holy Ghost, period. That's a real, somebody said, here we go again. They taught that in the 70s, they taught that, and it's still so today. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. And the Spirit doesn't dwell in your head, the Spirit dwells in your heart. The Spirit does not dwell in your head, the Spirit dwells in your heart. And quickeneth, when you see that word quickeneth, that means that's what gives you this life. That's what gives you the life. You can't read about the life and put it in your head and expect to live it. It is the Holy Ghost that allows you to live this life that Jesus is talking about. It says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh, it will profit nothing." I mean, it's not like you can come in this thing like you're going to college. You come in, if I can hear all this other stuff in my head. No, you got to get, it's got to work in your head. It's got to work in your head, but down to your heart. Jesus is a supernatural God, and the supernatural must manifest itself in your life. For it is the Spirit. It's when the Spirit starts. That's what he desired. He said, "Lo, I'll be with you always and forever." Now listen, when Jesus was there in the flesh, when Jesus was ministering to the disciples in the flesh, they had him right in front of their face. But he said, there's a better way. Because when he was right there in front of their face, he had to communicate to them on a mental level. And there were lots of spiritual things that they could not pick up, and they could not discern. There was a better way. He came back in the Holy Ghost. He came back in the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that gives life. "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit." How do you get the Holy Spirit? How do you receive the Spirit? How do you enhance the Spirit? "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. And they are what? Life." That means what you hear, you can live. Especially if you hear supernatural words, you put supernatural words on the inside of your spirit, you'll be able to live those words. How many want quickened life? Jesus said, "The words that I speak by the Spirit, those words are life." How many of you found out that you hear a good old Holy Ghost word, an anointed word, that word starts to manifest in your life? I need some life. You don't live by your paycheck. You live by what you hear. You better realize that. Paychecks come and go. Things go up. Things go down. They go all over the place. But I tell you what, the word will always be there. And the words that you hear will be able to sustain you through anything. Amen. And if people would develop that, you know, if people would honor the word of God like they honor the time clock. Amen. If people would honor the word of God like they honor their contacts and their contracts and all that stuff, they would find out that it is the words that I speak to you, they are life. And if you want to have a quality life, you need to get a quality word. Amen. It'll pay. It'll pay. You know, it does pay. It does pay to hear the word of God. It doesn't just make you feel good. It'll do something supernatural to you. He said, the words that I speak to you, those words will become life. You'll be able to live this out. What is God talking? You know, if this thing is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the things that we speak to you today are the things that God's going to jump all over tomorrow. He's talking about dwelling in you. Well, you're going to find that as you hear this teaching on Christ dwelling with you and Christ manifesting himself to you, it will start to manifest itself in life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father. From that time, many... Don't be upset, people.
That's right.
If Jesus is in the house, he'll always draw fences that people won't cross.
Amen.
I mean, we get all upset because everybody's not going. Not everybody that starts a race finishes a race.
Right.
Even the high schools in America, there are a whole bunch of people that start out, but not everybody finishes. And that's just to get a diploma. I mean, anybody ever take a training course? They say, we're going to work this thing out. And by the time that training course is over, half the class is there and half the class is gone. That's the same thing in the kingdom of God. And we get all upset. Listen, read right here. From that time, many of his disciples went back. When he started talking about the Holy Ghost, when he started talking about it's the Spirit that gives you life, that's it. They said, that's it for me. I'll go to church until you start to get spiritual and start you talking about stuff I can't comprehend. And many of them went back. See, I can take it in my head because I can control it when it's in my head. But don't you go dealing with my spirit. Many turned back. I mean, even in this place, there are a whole bunch of people. If we just stayed on a mental level and cracked jokes on Sunday morning and dealt with people at carnal level, they'd be fine.
Amen.
But you let the Holy Ghost show up with stuff and get in their business. Many will turn back.
Amen.
How many of you seen people run out the door? Many turn back. And walk no more with him. Wow. And walk no more with him. My words are spirit and life. And see, many people turn back. See, everybody will be confronted with the Holy Spirit and with God trying to manifest himself. I want you to know, as converts and as believers, when you get into this thing, everything you're dealing with is in your intellect. When you hear it in the beginning, but I tell you what, you start reading these words, this is not an ordinary book.
Amen.
This is not an ordinary book. You know, this is a freaky book. It's a good one. What do I mean by that? I mean, you start reading this stuff and you read it for a couple days, a couple years, and all of a sudden it starts to manifest. Things start to jump out of it. Things start to happen. I mean, it becomes alive. And as soon as that book starts to come alive, you know, there are some places you go, you just read about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, it's just words. But when it's the Spirit of God that starts to reveal that word to you, it's a whole lot different. When people start to jump out the book. When God starts talking about healing and it's not just a story that you read in the Bible, it jumps out of the Bible and it starts to happen in front of your face.
Amen.
And walk with him no more. See, there are a whole lot of people that are into quote-unquote Christianity. And just the word Christianity means anointed ones. Well, what are we anointed with? We're not anointed with the physical body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No. That body was taken up. It was a glorified body. It was taken up. What are we as believers anointed with? We are anointed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Just the name in and of itself. Anointed means, Christ means anointed one. And Christians mean, the word Christian means anointed ones. Just like him. So we are anointed with the Spirit of God. Look at somebody and say, believe in the Spirit of God. And they went back and walked with him no more. And walk with who? Who's him? Who's him? Who's him? Jesus. Yes. It's him. See, many people turn back and they, you say, I just want, he does not just want to be a history figure.
He's not like Hitler. He's not like George Washington. And he won't want to walk like that. What do you mean by that? Those are people that you can know by reading about him. That's as far as it goes. Jesus is not like that. You can read about him, but you can also fellowship with him on a daily basis. But those that were not able to receive the Spirit and receive those things, they no longer walk with him. Some people say, you're just so, all you think about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is Jesus. What's the Holy Ghost going to do but teach Christ to us? You want to get to know Jesus more? Who did Jesus say would teach you about himself? The Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit of God will manifest Jesus Christ to you. And said unto the 12, will you go away? Jesus asked the same question. If I do what I want to do, will you leave too? Then Simon, I like Simon, he's the one with the big mouth, answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words that make us feel good. I mean, you tell the best jokes out of everybody. Where will we go, God? You have words. There are all kind of words. It says you have the words of what? Eternal life. You have words that give us life. And we believe and know and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now go to John chapter 14, verse 18. He said, I will not what? Leave you comfortless. Now listen. I will what? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Was he talking about the rapture when he said that? Was he talking about the rapture when he said that? Everybody said, listen, I'll come back to you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He wasn't talking about when he said, listen, you'll come unto me. He said, you'll come unto me in heaven. He said, listen, I will not leave you. Jesus said, I will not leave you, talking to these disciples, comfortless, but I will come unto you, yet a little while the world seeth me no more. No, they can't hear the word. Notice that the world can't hear the word, nor can they see the manifestation of Jesus. But ye see me because what? Why do you see me? He's talking about when he comes back again. He's talking about when he comes back through the Holy Ghost. He says, you will see me because what? I live. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus was taking up into heaven, you know, with all of his vocal capabilities, with his personality, with his passion, with his love, with the Spirit to do good things. But he comes back in the form of the Holy Ghost, not able to speak, not able to move, not able to make a difference, not able to heal the sick. Well, he is able to heal the sick, because whatever Jesus did when he was in the natural body, he can do even more through the form of the Holy Ghost in the believer. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you again. We're talking about the Holy Ghost here. But ye see me because I live, and you shall live also. I live, and you will live also. Quality of life. When you get the revelation that Jesus Christ is alive on the inside of you, you will also begin to live. Of course they live. Of course they were living and breathing. They were doing all those other things. But life begins when we have a revelation that Jesus Christ is not dead. Amen. Not on a historical point of view. Not from that. But because of the manifestation and his presence in our life. Amen. And when we realize that we have the living Jesus on the inside of us, then we will also begin to live the quality of life that he was talking about. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will what? Manifest myself to him. Circle that. That's where we're going in this season. Said, he that has my commandments, I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. How is that possible? How is that possible? When was he talking about this? When will this happen? And not unto the world. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, but how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Because of where they are, where he chooses to manifest himself. He chooses to manifest himself in spiritual heavenly places where we are seated. Worldly people can't go there. People that are in just one, people that are carnally minded, the mind of the world. You get what I'm saying? They will never be able to comprehend the manifestation or truly see the manifestation of Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now listen, now that word, God takes love. Love just doesn't mean have emotion for me. People think, oh, I love Jesus, you know, and they can tell they love Jesus because every time they think about the old rugged cross, they shed a tear. But the love that Jesus is talking about, those that love, love obeys commandments. And you're not going to be able to obey the commandment of God until you know what the commandment is. The commandment of God is his will and his word. Amen. And you're not going to be able to keep his will and his word unless you know what the word is. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And will come unto him and make our abode with him. And make our abode with him. Hearing the word, listen, they hear the word and keep the word, then God says, my Father will love them, and we will come and make our abode with him. Notice that Jesus said, they that eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said that. Well, what he is the word of life. Jesus is the word. So when we eat the word, and eating the word is digesting scripture, digesting spiritual principles. That is what he's talking about. Those that take me in by hearing me. When you hear him, he jumps on the inside. He said, I will make my abode with them. The more that you allow Christ to minister to your spirit, the stronger he will become manifest in your life. He will not manifest himself. He will literally manifest himself to the level of your knowledge of him by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. There are certain miracles you won't get. Now, there are graces and different things. But listen, whatever you don't have the revelation of, you're not going to be able to receive. If you need supernatural healing, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get into the Word and eat healing until healing starts to manifest itself. If you need finance, what you're going to have to do, you have to get into the word and eat the word concerning finances, that financing might manifest itself. Amen. Now listen, if a man keep my words, I will love him, and he will come and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father has sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But he said this when he was in present with them. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He said, listen, I will not leave you, but I will send a Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what? Remember we talked about knowing all things, that you know what to do? He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. Now, one of the things that we wanted to make clear when we did this, you study this, that in us, that God has a desire to be within you. And God within you will also manifest himself. How do you allow that to happen? By the word of God, by hearing the word of God. And that word is logos. We talked about the dabar of God. The dabar of God. Now there's another word that we want you to get in on, and that's the logos. And the logos of God is the thought, will, and intention of God. Now listen, he said, you need no man teach you, for you have an utterance from the Holy Ghost. We talked about on Friday night, utterance from the Holy Ghost. That utterance means word or work. Word or work. Word or work. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just begin to pray right where you are? These are the last days.
These are the last days where I believe believers are going to stand up and say, we need more. We need more. Abide in Him. If my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Those that are excited, that's a promise. That as you get this revelation, your prayer life will increase to the level that you can ask whatever you will. And I'll prove that in Scripture. It will be done for you. But it starts by eating the bread which came from heaven. What you're doing this morning as you hear this word, you're eating bread from heaven, manna from heaven, which won't fade away. And it will manifest itself into the person of Jesus. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for those gathered in this room right now. Father God, I thank you that they are hungry for more of you, hungry for the word. And you won't disappoint them, Father God, but that you'll fill their every one of their longings. Father God, I pray that they came in one way and they're leaving another way. Father God, I pray that as they return in Jesus' name, that as they return to their life, as they return to their things, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you will return with them with manifestation. I pray that your voice would be louder. I pray that your impression upon their heart would be stronger in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that the devotional time, Father God, will be sweeter. Father God, give them revelation of your awesome presence on a daily basis. Let them know that they are not alone, but that you are with them and that you can do much more than what they've allowed to happen in their life, Father God. You're alive, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Manifest yourself in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.